have 10,000 people in chat voicing their opinion, it can get dicey, and it's like a scary place for brands to go in there.
Yeah, and you have to do it right. If you do it wrong, you're going to be scorched.
This week, we're talking about immersive storytelling. We have four experts going deep on brands broadcasting live on social media and how not to get scorched. Welcome to Builders, a podcast from BetaWorks Studios featuring the amazing people who build things, the makers and the doers, not just the talkers. The people who are helping shape this world and the next world we'll live in. My name is Layla Ueda, and I'll be your guide. Be sure to subscribe to Builders in iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. We release new episodes every Tuesday. All these episodes are recorded live at Studios, our New York City clubhouse for builders and anyone else interested in the startup ecosystem. Each week, they feature a new and diverse mix of people drawn from our community. Only at BetaWorks Studios will you find founders and the network around founders authentically chatting about subjects that really matter. If you want to know more about our club, just visit betaworks-studios.com anytime or contact me for a day pass. But listening to these podcasts is a pretty good reflection of life here. One week, we might be talking about how to design for blockchain or build experiences in the age of Instagram. And the following week, we're chatting with technology luminaries like Jaron Lanier on why we should probably all delete our social media accounts. This episode features a lively evening session covering immersive storytelling for brands. We have Justin Durazzo, Director of Interactive at Droga5, Kenny Gold, Director of Social Media for Gray, Ronan Shapiro, Director of Client Strategy at Twitch, and Dustin Califf, Managing Partner from Tool. They talk about how the technology has rapidly evolved, the pitfalls for broadcasting live, how to use streamers as influencers, and so much more. So just stay tuned for a ton of smart stuff for anyone considering live broadcasting. Justin Fedroga will be leading the panel. He was standing in for Jake Neske, who had put the panel together but couldn't make it because his wife gave birth that very day. Congrats to Jake for becoming a father. All right, let's get into it. You'll hear from Justin first.
Great news, Jake couldn't be with us tonight, but he has a beautiful child here now with him. So I'm inheriting this wonderful list of questions, but hopefully we can make this as organic and conversational as possible. So the obvious question is, how are platforms changing storytelling now? Twitch, Facebook Live, Instagram, where are we at now compared to like where we were 10 years ago? And you specifically showed a case study to kind of touch on that difference.
Well, yeah, I mean, the tech has changed, you know, the platforms have changed, but I think the biggest thing that we now have is we're in the age of, like, consumer broadcasting, so any of us can obviously go, any of you could be live streaming this right now if you wanted, just from Facebook Live, any of the different, you know, social media platforms you want, whereas when we did that, you know, in 2010, we had to have a backpack, we had to have all these different things, there was no easy way to live stream. That's just the technology side of things. Obviously, there's so many different platforms and Twitch and Facebook Live and Insta Live and all these different things now, and it can get complicated as far as like the different audiences that you're going after and what the benefits are of each. But that's one of the biggest things that's changed as far as there's a big choice now for brands and for marketers as to whether or not you're going to go like the professional route and go like, you know, super high end like what we did with Battle Cars, or are you going to go kind of the consumer route and just, you know, kind of partner with co-streamers or others and do it from someone's phone?
I think for consumers, you get immediate badge value. The ability to co-create is there. So I just sort of dig that. It's not this broadcast model anymore. The ability for people to just come in, interact with one another, interact with a brand, gain immediate badge value from those brands has become, the possibilities are infinite.
I would also add that I love the extra dimension that is added from the viewers themselves, side conversations that are happening that add like another depth to what we're actually viewing. And I think that's made possible, to your note, by technology. I mean, we all carry supercomputers in our pockets, so we're able to be live in 2 seconds and broadcast anything and then have a conversation with anyone while doing so.
Thank you. I guess something that you're all touching on is just like accessibility. Like, we're all able to be broadcasters now. We all have a computer and a camera in our pocket. How do you see individuals like evolving storytelling when, you know, they're not professional filmmakers or photographers or, You know, like what kind of trends are you seeing that work and don't work?
From a Twitch point of view, like sometimes we see people that literally live stream to zero people for months on end. And they're like, they're doing the whole show. It's not like they're waiting for one person to come on, they put on their lucky shirt. They literally are doing it because they love it. And they are speaking to an audience that they believe that is there. And then suddenly they have one, and then they have 10, and then they have 500 streamers. So I think it's the passion that people bring to it, but also the fact that they know that people will come if they are authentic to what they do, because you're able to do that for longer. I could pretend to be someone I'm not and maybe do it for a show or two, but if I'm being me, then I can continue to do it because I love it.
I love that people are being completely unapologetic about who they are, and that they're not an art, I come from the agency world, so they're not an art director, but they're playing with stickers and color and text, and they're trying to figure out how to make something uniquely theirs. And I just love, as someone who grew up watching a shit ton of TV, like the ability to flip through an Instagram story and see a different show through the perspective of my friends has just changed the way that I consume content. And I just love that people are being able to find their voice and broadcast it immediately and just feel like they're out there in the world.
I guess I'll add to that. I think one of the exciting things in all of this is thinking about participation, and I think that's one of the things we're all kind of hitting on, and you can obviously live stream something. Somebody could just live stream this panel, and you can just sit back and watch it like you normally would a live show on, you know, NBC or whatever. But the opportunity with like Twitch and some of these others is creating it in such a way that you're crafting these stories and the live streams so that you're actually encouraging participation with the community. And that's, to me, one of the most unique things about this creative platform, is that if you do it right, you're actually able to affect the story or the stream that's being told by the active participation from on Twitch chat, which is one of the most unique things about Twitch, is your chat community. And on Facebook Live and Insta and all these. And in fact, I was recently seeing the new episodic series that you guys did called Artificial, which is the first, you know, episodic series ever done on Twitch,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Specifically for the audience. And it's completely made so that the audience is helping to dictate that whether or not this, you know, person is either artificial or not. And they're helping to impact that. And I think that's how we try to approach anything with an advertiser, is thinking about things in that way. How are you going to encourage it?
Yeah, I also think it's forced brands to think more like people. Yeah. You know, when spots were created back in the day, it was a one-way piece of communication that went out into the world and you didn't have the chance to react. Then you see, like today, NBC does Stay Tuned on Snapchat, and it's their version of the news for the next generation. And it's thought through, the way that it's produced is like you're sitting with your friends talking about the news, and it's just done so well. So I love how this element of co-creation and live and immersive storytelling has forced brands to think more like people, because I think the work that comes out ends up being more authentic.
Well, I was going to add, like, it's something interesting that you bring up, because I've been seeing a lot more of, just like you mentioned with the news, traditional content being, I keep calling it, like, being remixed.
Yeah.
For the live streaming community, and it being modernized in a way. And that's kind of what we did with, like, the Grand Tour. It was like, that was an episode from season one, but then remixing it in a way that made sense for the Twitch platform, and they could, you know, so you're right, it's thinking like people, it's thinking in how people consume the, you know, on these platforms, and there's a big opportunity to remix all sorts of different content for these platforms.
We kind of touched on the fundamental shift from how we used to consume film. I guess let's talk about some more things that you've seen out there. It doesn't have to be a brand or anything like that, but you know, I know myself, I might be watching a film, but I also have my phone in my hand and I'm flipping through Instagram stories the entire time, and I realize I haven't caught any of what's going on in the actual film. So there's something interesting there. And I might not be looking at anything particularly engaging, but I think there's a connection to the people that I know that makes it engaging. So I guess from a personal level, like what have you seen out there that it could be a guilty pleasure, it could be something that's super admirable that a brand has done. What are you interested in right now?
I mean, I love brands that are not afraid to kind of be tongue-in-cheek and like make fun of themselves, and especially like Twitch, which is a super live environment, and anytime you have 10,000 people in chat voicing their opinion, it can get dicey, and it's like a scary place for brands to go in there, and especially staid brands that have this like message and they are this, but they go out there and they open themselves up to these conversations, and I think that's really cool, like making fun of themselves. It's like when brands started having like a cheeky voice on social media and like kind of like snapping back at people or embracing their haters and be like, thank you for that lovely comment, sir. That's really what I like. The brands are opening up, much like individuals, to be able to make fun of themselves. And I think also that leads to, you mentioned like the change in consuming movies. It's sort of like the change in entertainment. I mean, with having your phone out, when's the last time we all heard about second screen? Maybe like 8 or 9 years ago. It's not enough that I'm like watching a football game, like I have to text these guys, or watching the Oscars and be like, can you believe his hair? And like engage with Twitter or engage with my friends. And basically what Twitch has done is put it all together, because the change in what entertainment is no longer sit back, but it's like lean in and be engaged and speak with people there. So
it's like DiGiorno with Sound of Music. Like, I know it's a little bit of an older example, but I love that. I just love that they were watching it with some of us, maybe me. I just love that they were putting their voice to something that was out there in culture, to the point where you stopped watching what was on NBC and you started watching what DiGiorno was doing. Mm-hmm. Just felt like that was super smart. I also like how the platforms have created opportunity for deeper storytelling. So if you think about what The Walking Dead does with their extended content, but also like, I just saw this thing from National Geographic for their new show Picasso, where the show is not out yet, but they wanted to tease it. So you could go on a Messenger and actually talk to Pablo Picasso. And while you were talking to him, he actually repainted your profile picture in the form of Picasso. I'm like, that's just so brilliant. Now I want to watch the show. I don't really care, but like, that's cool. They engaged me. They did something with like some small badge value, but these channels have just illuminated like the deeper story.
What platforms do you think are doing it best? And if you take a look at all of them, like any pros and cons that you feel like you can highlight, you might be biased, but tell us what you guys are thinking.
Twitch is the best.
Facebook Live, I started watching baseball games on Facebook Watch and Facebook Live, and I think your ability to see when your friends join the chat is really cool. I think watching the live emotions pop up make you feel like you're understanding the sentiment and the wave of how people are reacting to the content. So I just think that's, if Facebook's all about making more meaningful connections with your friends, the ability to co-watch content together and react together and engage together just feels so natural. So I just love the work that's being done there. I don't know if it'll translate well onto Instagram TV. I think we'll see. But I find that to be pretty fascinating.
Right. And a lot of, you know, our experience has been in doing live stream shows for brands. And one of the biggest issues usually is you put all this hard work into it, and then there's not that many people actually engaging at any given time. And that sucks for not only the brand, but for, you know, us who's been working on it. And the thing that I found is, even when we reached out to influencers, we did PR, we did all these things, on certain platforms, and I'm not gonna say which ones, it just inherently doesn't have the audience who wants to engage in that way. Now, maybe for an MLB game or an NBA game, it's different, but for a branded thing, they're just not typically there. I'm gonna give you some props, is that for Twitch, and again, you have to do it right. If you do it wrong, you're gonna be scorched, but that audience is there to engage, and we have found, like on that Grand Tour project, we had 77,000 people concurrently interacting, you know, and viewing it at one time, and that's huge, you know, compared to, and that's, I'm not talking about views, those are like people who are actively watching together and interacting, and that, those are the kind of numbers that start making, at least making sense to me, where I go, okay, that's great.
I think it has a lot to do with the idea too. One of the things that's translated really nicely from film, I think, to this medium is that you have to have a good idea. You have to be telling a good story. People have to want to watch it. We just did this thing for Applebee's to promote their Halloween drink, where we did a live graveyard quiz show, and people could come and they could just watch the graveyard and they could answer the questions and win real prizes. And it was a neighborhood activity for the neighborhood brand. It was just right in line. We know that the audience is on the channel, and it reacted well. I think there was like 98,000 individual comments in 8 hours. So a ton of engagement. It all comes down to the authenticity of the idea. I think the platform, honestly, because the tech is becoming so ubiquitous, the platform almost becomes secondary.
Yeah.
Sorry. No offense.
But it does seem like you do need to tap into places where there is an existing user base, there is an existing interest group already, and you're just tapping into that versus like trying to fabricate.
There are different audiences on different platforms. And obviously Twitch's audience is focused on gaming, and there's different audiences you can now start also streaming in a way where, now I think it's through Vimeo and some others, you can actually now stream on multiple platforms, which is something we used to not really be able to do, or it was a royal pain in the ass from a tech perspective. But now just to stream once and then stream into YouTube and Twitch and all of them, but you can hit certain different demos on Facebook or whatever it is when you're live streaming. So it is part of the programming strategy, I guess, in addition to the content strategy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I'll just add to that, and I think the common denominator that everyone's speaking about is just authenticity, like know your audience, know your message, and speak to your audience in a way that you think best will give them what they're looking for and what they usually do, make it easy for them to engage in the day-to-day.
Yeah, well, one of the things we were talking about beforehand, though, is that it's obviously easier said than done to be authentic and to truly understand like the audiences and the way that people interact. And one of the things we were talking about is how important it is, even on Twitch, like to actually speak to some of the streamers, like actually go out and speak to some of those people and use their brain as a sounding board. And the same way that you probably might do it with an influencer on, you know, Insta or YouTube or whatever.
So everyone talks about what's your influencer strategy.
Yeah.
I think they're so focused on the outward element of what the influencer is doing. You know, two ears, one mouth, listen to what the influencer has to say. They're going to tell you a little bit about how the channel's going to work to your advantage. I would much rather pay an influencer to tell me how to use the channel than try and reach their audience. I think their value is just unbelievable.
I agree. We just did a custom commercial and a couple live streams with three streamers. One of them is Dr. Lupo, who's a big like Fortnite player. He's hilarious. And it was promoting Samsung SSD, which is a solid state drive, which is not like your typically like most sexy thing that you think of. To some. But like Dr. Lupo had such strong opinions on how to do it, and he's got a tech background, and the brand was very open and the agency was very open to like hearing from him. And then ultimately when we shot the commercial, it was like just having a conversation with him. It went super smooth, and when they aired it, and this is by the way all like hashtag ad and like all the FTC compliance is in there.
Hashtag spawn.
Yeah. And they the audience was reacting and like asking him questions because he was enthusiastic about it from the way he put it in. Whereas if we came to him and gave him like a talk track of like, say these seven things and make, you know, this SSD the fastest in the world, it probably wouldn't work as well. But when he put it in his work.
Hi, everyone.
Ideas, like chat was asking him questions. And for a brand perspective, what could be better than that? 25,000 people, that's the size of Madison Square Garden, like watching him talk about something.
And that's agencies, a lot of agencies tend to have that problem where the teams that are working on it, they don't want to get out of their own way. My script, my art direction, my production, my approach. I think we have to become a little bit more fluid because our audiences are certainly far more fluid than they've ever been. Mm-hmm. So we need to adapt accordingly.
It brings up a good point, too, when you're scripting for this kind of stuff, like doing a run a show for one of these from a brand perspective. This may be a bad analogy, but I always describe it to like Curb Your Enthusiasm. I heard that the way that they used to always write scripts for that is they would do an outline, but then the actors would be the improv. And I kind of look at it the same way with live streaming, in that you're kind of doing a story arc through an outline, but then the audience is the improv, and you got to give them the prompts and the ability to kind of improv and change what's happening. And that's typically how we try to approach, like a run a show for any of this kind of stuff.
So it's a little bit of like scripted narrative, but allow the people to have their own agency at certain points in between, and then just kind of bring it back when you need
and
to.
And know that you have the fluidity the same way that you're talking.
And
it has
that,
to change.
And that, I think, for those that deal with clients, there's a mindset that we need to transition them into where they're comfortable being uncomfortable with how fluid it is. They need to, it's not for the faint of heart. And I think that's a really important thing for us all to do as we advise the brands that we work with or the people, the technologies that we work with. This is going to be, it's going to be produced, but it's going to feel run and gun. There's a little bit of unscriptedness you need to be comfortable with.
That kind of makes me just think of the question, have you seen anything that has either been a huge success or a failure, either like something that was scripted that went off script that then, you know, inevitably turned out to be super successful, or the other way around? That
everything we've done is perfect. No, we actually, I'll mention something on the Grand Tour project. We did 2 1-hour streams, and on the first one, we had these like segments where after the car was exploded, we had these pre-produced little like vignettes talking about like the car. And we put those on, and I, in some ways, I felt like we were almost too polished in the first stream. And chat was calling us out. They're like, "This is fake. You know, this isn't real." Blah blah blah. So we actually started the second stream where we had showed all of our cameras, everything that was happening. We literally had the host coming out, being like, doing jokes to the crowd, saying like, "Hey, if this wasn't live, I couldn't do this or I couldn't say that." And obviously prompting the audience and. And then immediately, chat was like, "Holy shit! Like this is real. You know, it's truly happening." And it was our mistake in the first stream, but it was our way of also reacting in real time to the audience to be like, "Check it out."
That's spot on. So this Applebee's thing that we did, you know, the first probably 2 to 3 minutes was fully scripted, and I think people could tell that was going on. And we had this one moment with this Easter egg where we had a hearse drive in front of the screen, and all of a sudden the chat blows up and it's like, "More hearse, bring in the hearse, we want to see the hearse." So then we started, the hearse became a character within the show and we had to pivot accordingly. So I think, and in the lottery example you saw, one of the comments was, "Where's the mistletoe?" So I think being able to react, it's the new version of community management, and being able to convert that community conversation into showing the authenticity behind the stream is spot on. You have to be ready for it.
For sure. And we see that all the time. The people that have a ton of experience are coming in from like a VOD background, a video on demand, like stuff that is pre-recorded and chopped up in a studio, and like, I look like shit here. Give me another shot. It's scary to go live. You know, like you sit there, the cameras are on, you have your ideas of what to go with, you hit a button, and all of a sudden, all the world can see you. And when you've planned it right, there's going to be a ton of people there, and they're going to be not shy about giving their opinion. And it's just a different mindset about sort of like being loose and being able to like go with it, and someone gives you feedback, and you can kind of like take it or leave it, but you think about it and you react to it. And to both of your points, it's about getting out of that like safety zone of like, "I only want to be in a video with people that make me look tall." You know, like, so it's, you're live, you're right there, so.
So what advice, you know, would you give to people here or to your clients in order to kind of get to that authenticity, or, you know, to get looser or to drop the script? Like, what's that fine line between planning and then just throwing this out the window and going with the flow?
I think there's a difference between being prepared. And I think that's the advice. You can only plan so much, but you can be prepared for a hell of a lot. And even when you're not prepared for a hell of a lot, you still have to be even more prepared. So I would just say, you know, have your red, yellow, green document. Know what happens if something is going to go wrong or if there's some sort of crisis that takes place. But if you're trying to script the whole thing, you're in the wrong medium. There are mediums for that. This isn't that one.
Mm-hmm. And there's enough examples of all of us who have done this that can show that, you know, it's not going to be a debacle, you know, when you're out there. And you're right, just being prepared, having talked through, like, what's going to happen in this scenario and that scenario. You can't be prepared for everything, but you can be prepared. And in an ideal situation, particularly with brands, you do have one tech rehearsal day where you can kind of roughly go through what everything is so they understand and everybody understands the process, because there are some very unique things that need to happen. I mean, one of the things that we do from a production standpoint is literally the stars or the hosts of the show have earbuds in, and they're being communicated to from the director, who's telling them, like, hey, give a shout out to, like, this person on chat or on Twitter or whatever who's saying that. Like, it's just a completely, you have to get used to that. And then the creative team at the agency or the creative team at the brand or the legal team, they need to understand how quickly they need to move, because there is no time to be like, oh, let's think about this for like 5 minutes. It's like, boom, you got to go.
Yeah, and that comes down to also trusting your talent, like, and knowing the human beings that you're working with. And especially when you're working on streamers, like streamers on Twitch, that's how they make their money. I mean, they are literally professional streamers. They stream 40, 50, 60 hours a week. They only care about people that follow them and subscribe to them, and they're never going to do anything to jeopardize that. They're always, like, they don't care who the brand is. Like, they're going to keep it real for their audience, and they're going to keep it on the up and up. And you choose the right streamers that have been doing this a long time. You have to trust them that they're going to be able to maneuver out of a crisis. And especially in Twitch's case, you can always, like, fall back on a game. Also, like, when the influencer doesn't have to speak for 2 hours about, you know, IHOP or whatever, whoever the brand is, but they can go in and do what people love to watch them do and mix in your brand message once in a while in there, and you just have to trust them and go with it.
I would add two more things. Test your Wi-Fi connection or your internet connection.
Agreed.
Fact.
No joke. And then the second one is, if it starts slow, don't be scared. And I think, don't have people planted who are gonna comment. Don't have people planted who are gonna try and, like, save the day for you. Trust the idea, trust the community, and then react accordingly. Like, don't try and game the system. Yeah. Do it in an authentic way. And test your Wi-Fi connection.
Yeah. Internet fans are great, by the way. Like, if there's even one lag.
So I think a little the other day we talked a little bit about what are some of the key ingredients that a client or a person or a brand should think about when making an investment. Like, why should we do this live versus, you know, in a studio or, you know, air it later? Like, what are some of the sort of fundamental psychological reasons why someone feels like they need to watch this thing live? Why should I buy a live concept from you, essentially?
Well, I mean, obviously there's one, which is it's an event and it's the only time it's gonna happen. But I go back to, like, the participatory element of this and community engagement. And if a brand is looking to activate a community and live streaming is the right platform or mechanism for doing that, then that's absolutely why they should do it. And that's what I would sell to them. This is one of the most unique ways to activate a community around a brand and do it right then, right there, and in an engaging way using live streaming.
I think the attention span for a Gen Z mobile user is something like 0.013 seconds. It's something crazy, and their ability to process is unbelievably quick. Creating a moment in time that has that exclusivity is really important. I think if it's something that you feel like they would want to take advantage of and would be willing to dedicate their valuable time to, it's the way to go. It's not always the answer. And I think that question that you ask has to be at the top of every brief. If you're going to come up with a live concept, like, why live? For me, I like the idea of making it a moment in time, and the fleeting nature of it is right in line with their consumption habits.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's also a question of audience. I mean, when you're looking at Twitch and some of our research shows, like, a lot of our audience are not cord cutters. Like, they're cord never havers. Like, they never even considered, like, getting TV. They just want their, like, 1 gigabyte internet connection, and they're going to go buck wild. And it's a different audience that you're speaking to, and it's a different group of creators that are thinking about that audience that are not necessarily going to see your Super Bowl spot or whatever you put out there, or you're at a home or any sort of traditional medium. They only want to be communicated to an environment where they have a voice. And as a brand, you have to accept if you want to hear that voice, and you also have to be ready to test and feel the impact of going live, because it's a completely different arena, and it's frankly what I believe is the future of entertainment and the past.
I remember what I was going to say. One thing that we haven't touched on so much is in the title here, immersive storytelling. What about any of the work that you've seen out there that's live streamed makes it feel more immersive. Typically, the word's being used more so in the industry when it's experiential. When, I mean, you could argue that a live stream is experiential. It is. But other than just commenting with your friends while watching the presidential debate or the final game of a World Series, what other elements can a creative team or a client embed into a live experience to make it feel more immersive?
I think access to worlds you don't normally get the chance to touch becomes really interesting. I saw this activation that Gatorade had done at South by Southwest where they used Oculus and noise-canceling headphones to show you what it was like to be an NFL quarterback. And it was just, I remember the thing that I'm a big football fan, and I love watching, and I feel like I'm watching, and I'm like, I could do that, but I know I can't. But watching it with those goggles on and being transported into their eyes and seeing the speed of the game from real footage, that immersive ability to transport you into something I'll never have the chance to do was actually mind-blowing. It was just so cool to get that perspective.
Yeah, I'll stick with the football theme, and I know Tool recently developed an extension. So Twitch streams Thursday Night Football live and free, you know, on Twitch, and you can build certain tools, certain technologies, like what Tool has built, where you can like bet on the game, like not for real money, but you can hover and see stats or like guess what's happening next, and that really makes you part of the experience, like part of the enjoyment. That, and then you have an audience of however many tens of thousands watching with you. It's not just like us talking about the game. Like this might be me, it's a little bit geeky, but I watched the Isle of Man Chess Championships on Twitch. It was very riveting. And I ended up being in a side conversation with a chess professor from South Africa about, we were talking about chess, and then we got in like way deeper, and then I had to go back to work because literally the whole day was gone. But like, you're in there with a ton of other people, and you never know who you're gonna connect with, who you're gonna react with. And like, that is sort of like the magic of experiential, of being in a live moment, having the tools of modern day social media and the loyalty of old school live TV all in one.
Immersive is a dangerous word. I think it is, right. It is a full on buzzword at this point, but when I hear it and when I use it, I try to think about the depth of the canvas that you are putting in front of the person. How deep is the story? How far can they go in? What worlds can they explore? And how can that, to me, is what is different. That's why it's so much, that's what technology has allowed for us as storytellers, is the ability to deepen the canvas that the reader, the user, the viewer is looking at.
Yeah, I think it's sort of that making them question how much of this is real, how much of this is not, how is there an end to this? Can I break through that wall? Can I not? I think that's an interesting point.
We were just talking about Red Dead Redemption as a game. Like, and I'm sure how many people are playing it? We can do a little interactivity. Okay, there's a couple people. Just, you could go along the story, or you can just hunt for big game, or you could just ride a wagon. Like, your ability to do just something very simple or to do something super deep, it wasn't like that when we were playing Double Dragon. So it's awesome.
Okay, guys, that's all we have for you today. We hope you found this episode informative. I mean, it makes me want to live stream my life. If you have a brand that would like to pay me for that, please let me know. We'll put some links to the case studies that the guys were talking about in our show notes. If you'd like to spend some time with us, check out our membership details at betaworks-studios.com. As we grow the Builder community, we'll still be holding many public events, but the best stuff tends to happen during the day at BetaWorks Studios between the members, all sharing ideas and making stuff happen. If you'd like a day pass, just let me know. I can be found on Twitter at Layla Oweda. But also feel free to just click on the description box for other ways to reach me. So for more episodes of Builders, just subscribe on Apple or wherever you choose to listen. Check back with us every Tuesday for new episodes. And if you leave us a review in iTunes, that would help so many more people find all of this great knowledge. Follow along with us on social media. You can be found on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BuildersPod, #BuildersPodcast for all things Builders. If you click on the description box, it's all linked there. We look forward to hearing from you. And until next time, I'm Layla Oweda. Happy building from all of us at the BetaWorks Studios team.